You're listening to episode 485 of the 360 Vegas Podcast. Check out the blog at 360vegaspodcast.com or send us an email at 360vegaspodcast@gmail.com. Get early and sometimes exclusive access to all things 360 Vegas, including 35 episodes of Vintage Vegas, 47 Ante Up, 87 Vegas Cocktails, and lots more with a $7 per month subscription to Patreon. That's patreon.com/360vegas. Join the conversation on Discord with dedicated chats covering all things 360 Vegas. It's free to join, and an invite to our server can be found at 360vegaspodcast.com.
Day after tomorrow, gentlemen, we'll be in Las Vegas.
Welcome to Vegas.
Las Vegas functions on a 24-hour-a-day schedule.
The pools, the casino.
Big volcano out in front.
That's the Eiffel Tower.
Bellagio. Riviera.
The Mirage.
Flamingo. Sahara.
The MGM Grand.
This isn't the real Caesar's Palace, is it?
I want to gamble.
They always put the machines that pay off the most right in the front.
Good luck.
Strip is just the most amazing stretch of road, I think, probably anywhere in the world.
Kicking ass in Vegas.
Vegas, baby.
Vegas, baby.
Welcome to Las Vegas.
Well, we really struck a nerve with Vidara. Did you see all the responses that we got about that?
I saw a couple of them. I didn't know that Vidara had kitchens.
No, full kitchens. At that.
I know.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, that, if you think about it from a vacation standpoint, that could save you a shitload of money in Vegas.
Right, right.
I mean, granted, you're going to overpay for your groceries at CVS or Walgreens, but still.
Something that's happened to us on our trips is, you know, you get an awesome meal and you want to take leftovers home, but where do you keep them?
Right.
And so the mini fridges at Vidara, just for the virtue of being able to, like, bring something home.
Yeah.
Is really cool. Also, did you know they have robots there for room service?
No.
No.
Yes. So for, like, small things, you order it through room service, and the little R2-D2 comes and brings
it. Oh, jeez, that's so cool.
Wow.
I also needed to give credit where it was due. It was Steven Van de Cook that came up with the real Rebuild the Strip game that we played last week.
Right. Yeah, I guess we didn't give him credit when we...
Yeah, I couldn't remember his name. And then I got two corrections we needed to address.
We never make mistakes.
Yeah, we make, well, apparently. Thank you to @RonBuckner for correcting us. Apparently, it's not Dita Von Tess, Dita Von Tees. I did not know that. Nobody had corrected me previously, and I don't know how I never heard it.
I'm trying to think of
explains why you don't see her the entire show.
Right.
You do see her. You see lots of her.
Yes.
Literally lots of her. But thank you, Josh. Welcome for, or thank you. Well, thank you, welcome. Welcome and thank you for pinch hitting. Tony is enjoying some vacation time. He's off traveling again and appreciate you. Your willingness to, and especially rearrange your schedule from what I understand to make this work. So thank you for that.
Well, it's always fun being here with you guys, so my pleasure, my pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's start the show then. He's Mark, she's Karen, and I'm Josh, and as always, we start with Random Vegas.
The Fountains of Bellagio were not the first dancing fountains to exist in Las Vegas. The original debuted in 1955 at the Royal Nevada. They were simply called the Dancing Waters and consisted of 4,000 jet streams and lights revolving and swaying in sync to waltz music. They could accomplish heights as high as 50 foot. The attraction was usually was universally liked. However, the Royal Nevada thought that they could offer this show instead of headliners. The property struggled and closed 3 years after it opened. We got that from the book, The Strip, Las Vegas and the Architecture of the American Dream.
Yeah, I don't think just fountains going off is quite the same thing as a show.
No, no. No, one of many mistakes the Royal Nevada made.
So I already knew this only because I listened to the Royal Nevada episode just the other day that you did. Were they out front or were they inside the property?
They're inside the property.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's good. Okay. Interesting. This would be fascinating to see you know, an iteration of the Bellagio fountains, you know, 40 years prior or something.
So. Right, like a kid's version.
Yeah. All right, Mark, tell us about the Twit Pick of the Week.
What's so great about this picture by @SumaCorp is the collection of properties long gone. Here we see the landmark tower to the left and the Thunderbird pretty prominently. What you don't realize you're looking at is a bungalow of the original El Rancho in the foreground. You even get a glimpse of the Riviera to the far right. None of these properties exist today. In fact, from this perspective, today the only thing you would see is Fountain Blue. The rest is a convention center expansion, a parking lot, and a concert festival ground. I'm grateful for both the original neon bird marquee as well as the revised frontage property on this picture. It's not going to dazzle you, but it's a welcome addition to our collection.
Okay, the most fascinating part of this picture to me are the bungalows.
Yeah?
Because they're not on the ground. They're sitting up on like...
on like blocks, cinder blocks.
Like, yeah, like they look like Lincoln Logs that these are sitting on. It's very odd.
Yeah.
And there's nothing... Like, how do you get to them? Walk across the dirt field?
Yeah, I don't know. This is old stuff that after the fire that still hung around for a little bit. I assume it was abandoned.
Yeah, Oh, yeah, there is a no trespassing sign, I think.
Is there?
Yeah, and the one on the front, on the far, like the right corner of it,
right.
You can see this little square sign, and it says no trespassing. Okay, so these weren't bungalows that were in use.
No.
Okay, that makes a little more sense. Because I was just thinking, why would you want to stay there? I don't understand.
Right. Maybe in the 40s or the 50s, but...
I just think, how cool would it be to kind of end up with one of these, like, as your house?
Right.
You know, a little kind of preserved part of Vegas history.
Right. So.
And it almost looks like it's a color-shopped photo because the Thunderbird sign is so bright. And everything else is kind of...
That was the color they were going for at that time.
Dull and gray.
Yeah, the Thunderbird sign really pops.
Yeah.
Well, as always, we'll link to the photo on our blog, feature it in all of our social media outlets such as Flickr, Pinterest, Facebook, and Twitter. Hey, guys, let's get into the news. I always want to try saying that in a way different than Tony does.
No, I liked it.
Yeah.
His voice when they do that.
I liked it. It's so easy to just try to impersonate.
Because you hear it hundreds of times the same way.
Yeah.
Right.
The news is brought to you by StripWalking.com. For the ultimate customizable POV walking experience in Vegas, check out StripWalking.com.
From the people that brought you the Vegas Skim book comes Bugsy the Documentary. This movie is looking for support to come to fruition, and this is your opportunity to be a part of it. The goal is to raise $15,000 by June 21st. To contribute and learn what benefits you can get based on your contribution tier, just go to fundiverse.com and search for Bugsy.
Mark, tell us a little bit about the latest news regarding casino smoking bans.
Yeah, a recent survey said that almost 60% of Nevada's smoking or Nevadans support banning smoking in casinos. Now, first of all, it isn't the locals that matter in this case. It's the 40 million people that come to visit the city. Second, smoke-free is not a new concept. Silver City has been doing it or originally did it back in the 90s, and it didn't work then either. If the majority of people actually want this thing, it's going to happen. I'm just tired of hearing about it. I mean, it's, if you got to remember, Vegas did Jim Crow until the mid-50s, and the only reason they changed that was because it made financial sense to do it. And it isn't like Park MGM is packed every night, so maybe it isn't as polarizing as some people want to make it out to be. But what do you guys think about a smoke-free casino? We've had the opportunity to enjoy both, and I prefer a smoke-free casino, but I don't support getting rid of them in Vegas because there's something about being in Vegas that it's like the place that you can do everything. And I don't like the idea of taking that away.
I mean, I always prefer someplace that's smoke-free.
Right.
So I wouldn't have an issue with this, especially if it prevents, like, sitting at a video poker bar and the person next to me smoking a cigarette and literally holding it 2 inches from my face.
Right.
You know, but just not being... aware of anybody else or anyone else around them. And, you know, then not working through cigar smoke either, which I absolutely hate. But I really don't care one way or the other on this.
Yeah.
Something that I was wondering about, because the survey was asking about, you know, locals and what they prefer. Are there local bars that have, like, video poker and stuff like that? I know there's, like, Dottie's, which is, like, a small chain and stuff like that. Are there places that you guys could go that are non-smoking that have gaming besides Park MGM?
I don't think any of them are non-smoking.
No.
I mean, I'm thinking of the one by our house and...
The Dottie's or the...
No, the Pint.
Oh, the Pint, right. Yeah, the Pint is a restaurant that you can smoke in.
And now, and they have video poker.
Yeah, and they have video poker.
You know what? I almost hesitated saying the name of it because somebody's going to go out and Google the Pint and find out where it is and know that, you know, we live really close to that.
We've already talked about that before.
I know, but for some reason it just popped into my head right now.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I don't have anything else to add on this. Like, I enjoy Park MGM, but I also, like, I'm not a fan of smoking, although I will have the occasional cigar.
Which is ironic, considering all the smoking that you do.
Yes, that's true. That's true. But there's a part of me that I think, like you, Mark, like walking through a casino and smelling the smoke, like it's just kind of a reminder in the back of my mind that anything goes here, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I don't like taking away people's freedoms, and there's something about Vegas where it was just like, if only here... You can do anything.
Well, the flip side to that argument, though, is that, yes, you've got freedoms, but that particular freedom is potentially dangerous to other people.
I know. But, I just... No one's forcing me to patronize a smoking casino, so...
Because before Park MGM opened, there weren't any.
Well, I could have chose to not go.
Well, just to not go.
Yeah.
But you weren't.
And now that there's options, I could choose to only go to non-smoking options, but I don't.
Okay.
All right, Mark, tell us a little bit about flight refunds.
The Biden administration issued a rule that requires airlines to automatically issue cash refunds for significantly delayed and canceled flights. A significant delay is defined as 3 hours for domestic and 6 for international. Seat upgrades and credits can still be offered, but customers can reject these offers now. The 11th largest U.S. airline issued $43 billion in customer refunds from 2020 through 2023. Jesus.
I like this.
Yeah, why not?
Well, and I don't think it's ever, knock on wood, happened to us, but I've heard horror stories of, you know, flight outages. I think the Southwest one that happened, was it last year? And, you know, people just, like, some people missed their wedding. And all they got was, oh, no, you've got a credit that you can use on a later flight. So, you know, that to me is just insane. It's like, no, I don't. I have other things tied into, you know, that I've paid for. I have reservations. I've got other commitments that were predicated on me getting to my destination at this particular time. And just telling me I have a credit that I can use later doesn't address any of that.
Right. Yeah, you inconvenienced me. You know, you said that it would be during this time period, and you didn't deliver on that.
Well, and there's always some things that are outside of the airline's control, obviously, but...
But 3 hours is...
Well, and I think that's a reasonable time limit.
I agree. Totally agree on this one.
Yeah, nothing to add here. I think it's good that... They're not just passing people credits. So. All right, let's get into prop bets. For those of you unfamiliar, prop bets is an extension of the news, but with just bits and pieces of noteworthy items. Prop bets is brought to you by Vegas Near Me. If it's fun to do or see, it's on Vegas Near Me. Available free on Android and iPhone. First up, a plaque and footprints are now on display in front of Venetian commemorating the Rat Pack. Specifically and approximately designating where the members of the legendary crew actually stood for the historic picture in front of the marquee with all their names on it. And it says here, it looks like it can be found on the southwest corner near Madame Tussauds. So this one kind of surprised me because this has been here a few years.
Yeah, apparently they took it down for a little while. It's back.
Okay.
Yeah.
The television program CSI Vegas has been canceled. The rebooted show only lasted 3 seasons and was criticized by some for not showcasing enough Las Vegas. You know, it's funny. I watched most of the first season of this.
Yeah.
And because initially I'm like, how are they going to reboot this? And the first season was interesting because a lot of the original cast was involved.
Right.
But I think they slowly started falling off.
Right. Okay.
One by one, which then made it not nearly as much fun.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm not surprised. I mean, reboots rarely do as good as the originals.
Yeah. A Cirque performer who was paralyzed during a performance of O is suing Cirque, specifically regarding an act in which divers are required to dive into a pool while platforms were moving beneath them. Ouch.
I've
always wondered how people like that can get insured. Like, when you do, like something that's death-defying, like, how do you get insured?
Well, the show has to carry insurance.
Okay.
And I'm kind of two minds of this.
Yeah.
One part of it is it royally sucks that this guy got hurt. I'm sure that he is going to need... I mean, you've taken away his livelihood.
Yeah.
And he's going to need some way, especially if he's partially paralyzed, you know.
Fully paralyzed.
Fully paralyzed. Good Lord.
Yeah.
Well, then, yeah, his cost of living just went up dramatically.
Right.
So I think I don't have an issue
with him suing.
But the flip side of that is you're doing something that you know is inherently dangerous.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why people go to watch, is because it's a death-defying spectacle.
Right.
So.
Sometimes you don't defy it.
Apparently not.
For the 37 cars that can actually park at Allegiant Stadium, those with electric cars will have charging stations now.
I just thought that was so silly. We've mocked about how few parking they've actually got, and now they're like, hey, guess what? We got electric parking here. I'm like, oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. One of these days we'll get to Allegiant for something.
Something.
Trevor Scherer, the president of the Rio, is stepping down due to undisclosed health conditions. Trevor joined the Dreamscape team at Rio last year, formerly held positions at MGM Grand, Mirage, New York, and Resorts World.
At Sin City Alerts reports casino security on the strip responding to a loading dock area where janitorial staff reported a group of people having sex in a large dumpster. Caller says they did not stop when I threw a bag of trash on them.
Now that's a fetish.
And it wasn't just two, like a group.
I know, right? A group of...
We're having an orgy in a dumpster.
Right.
Like, wait, at what point do you go, oh, guys, I know a great place for this.
I know, right? How do you talk somebody into an orgy? And then on top of that, just going, and you know where? The perfect place.
And then to
we
not
need
stop.
Privacy.
We need privacy.
Yeah.
And echo.
Ugh. Gross.
Nevada casinos won $1.29 billion in March, down 1.65% from last year. The Strip won $716 million, down 1.2% from last year. And downtown casinos saw the biggest decline at 13%, pulling in just over $76.2
million. Wow. That's a big decline.
Yeah, well, I hope this is the reckoning that downtown needs. Downtown used to be a good gamble. It used to be, you know, that was the reason you went down there. You got cheap booze, you got good gambling, and now it's the same gamble that you get on the Strip. So what's the point of going downtown?
And it's kind of ironic to me because every time we've been downtown lately, it's packed.
Yeah.
There's so many people down there. Even, well, we were down there midweek for something recently, and there was a lot of people down there.
Yeah.
So.
They hang out with me last week.
That's right. That's what it was. Sorry. I knew I should remember that.
That's okay.
A pipe burst this week at Plaza near their wedding chapel.
I just...
That's a short little factoid.
Yeah. Yeah. Dive-in movies at Cosmopolitan are returning Mondays starting May 20th through September 9th. Doors open at 7 p.m. Movies start at 8. Admission is $15 for general availability, $10 for locals, and free for hotel guests, identity members, first responders, and military.
Featured movies include The Dark Knight, Dirty Dancing, and The Hangover.
Fun.
Yeah, I like the Hiney movies.
Megadeth with Mudvayne and All That Remains are performing at the Bach Theater at Planet Hollywood Friday, August 16th. Show starts at 6:30. Tickets start at $79.
Yeah, we only had two of them this week, so I just chucked them into, prop heads.
AVN is returning to Virgin Hotels January 22nd through the 25th. Tickets to attend start at $60. They're already selling tickets for next January?
I think they just announced it. I don't know if they're selling the tickets yet. Well, no, they are. They're... At Las Vegas Locally reported that someone waiting at the airport won $1.3 million this week. That's Ocean's 13. I mean, that's the last hurrah that, you know, you're like, I got nothing left to go except this machine right here. This is my last shot. I hope they didn't go home.
I'm staying another week. Theo Von is performing at Resorts World Friday and Saturday, July 5th and 6th. Shows start at 8 p.m. Tickets start at $59.
Who?
Theo Von is a comedian.
Oh, okay.
That's it for news and prop bets. Let's check the river. Like the five communal cards you get in a game of Texas Hold'em, the river can have anything turn up. So is our river segment. And this week we have 360 FHE. 360 FHEs are our opportunity to go out and explore the ever-changing landscape of Las Vegas and share that experience with you. So this week, you went out and explored Strip Steak at Planet Hollywood. Tell us about your firsthand experience.
Yeah, Karen had done this before, and we were looking for something a little high-end, but to save some money. And this
well,
is...
Well, we were looking for places. Our dear friend, Graham, who's at Chef Demoni, was in town, and you know we wanted to go out to eat, but we were looking for some place because Graham and I like fancy food. Mark does not, so we were looking for some place that, you know,
in between.
Mark would be happy to go to, and Graham and I could also.
Although, didn't you guys both have steaks? So don't make it sound like I'm some big handicap or something. You guys went for steaks.
Oh, believe me, Graham and I could have picked a lot of other more. Adventurous restaurants.
Why didn't... Oh, restaurants. I thought you meant food. I was like, you could have gotten whatever you wanted.
I don't know. I mean, well, and I have been to Strip Steak before, and both you and he had not. And it was right by...
I was really impressed with it.
Right by where he was staying. So it was,
convenient
as well.
Convenient.
But yeah, so it was your first time there. So what did you think?
I loved it. The pepper-crusted steak was fantastic. I ended up getting it medium for the first time in a decade. You know, I decided to give it a shot because it seems like medium well has been coming out pretty charbroiled lately. And I'm like, you know what? Because
I got mine medium well, and it was well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm with you. We may have to start. Because the last couple times I've ordered it medium well, it has come out well. It's not medium.
Yeah.
Medium well, sorry. So, I'm with you. We might have to start rolling the dice. And
trusting these fine young chefs here in Vegas to be able to make a medium.
Well, if they could make a medium well, I'd be okay with that, but they're not. They're coming out well done.
Right. So. Right. Apparently that requires some extra skill to it. But yeah, I highly recommend it. I mean, not only is it reasonably priced, it's really good steak, centrally located. I can't say enough nice things about it. There wasn't anything I didn't enjoy.
Because we also got the mac and cheese, right?
Right.
And the potatoes?
Was it potatoes or corn?
Was it sad? I don't remember. but Graham and I did split a salad, too, which was really good. So, yeah. I mean, and very reasonably priced.
Yeah.
I don't remember what the price
was. Yeah, I mean, it's still expensive. It's Vegas, but it's, you know, when you consider what you pay at other places, you know, you're like, this is a really top-quality steak for the price.
And it's a very fun ambiance, and the wait staff is fantastic. So if anybody hasn't been, I know that I think.
Well, and then all the decor is like topless women.
You know,
like,
I didn't
and it was funny, like we didn't realize it until like you're just kind of because it looks what's that old Landry's place where they've got all the celebrities?
It
pictures.
Looks like, yeah, it looks like celebrity photos all over the wall.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. And then you pay a little bit closer attention to what's actually in there. Like, well, these are topless women.
So, Josh, there's boobies. So
everywhere.
Give it a try.
Okay. Excellent. I just moved up on my must-try list.
Right.
And then up we have some more 360 Vegas trivia. So 360 Vegas trivia, that's our opportunity to share our knowledge of Las Vegas history while allowing you to test your skill while playing along at home. Isn't it about scores, Tony? There are no winners or losers, just an excuse to talk about Vegas.
That said, I'm sure somebody is keeping score somewhere. All right, let's see. This is what I got for you this week. What does YESCO stand for?
Oh, Young Electric Sign Company.
That's correct.
Ding, 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 ding. Nice. I knew the company part, but I didn't know what the what my ES was.
All right. What is the name of the property Mo Dalitz opened on Fremont Street in 1980 that is known today as the D?
Wasn't it Fitzgerald's?
It was Fitzgerald's for a time, but that's not what its original name was.
That's not what it opened as. No. I don't know. Josh is thinking. I could see him, like, he's kind of leaning back, and he's like, it's right there. I know what it is, and I can't think of it.
It's a Sundance.
Ah. Sun was in my head. I'm like, sunshine. No, it's not sunshine.
Awesome. All right, next up. What was Derek Stevens' first property on Fremont Street?
I'm sorry, say that again?
What was Derek Stevens' first property on Fremont Street?
Wasn't it Golden Gate?
Golden Gate, that's correct. What was the name of the hotel at Golden Gate?
Sal Segev.
Sal Segev, correct.
Oh, right.
What were you laughing at?
Well, because ironically, in my head, I'm like, the Golden Gate?
Like, I'm the idiot.
Most casinos don't name their hotels something separate.
Right.
Now, they may have a
boutique.
They might have a boutique hotel inside of them, but normally the hotel is the same name.
Yeah. All right. What company closed the Stardust?
Boyd
Gaming, yep. Correct. Ooh, here's a good one. What was the first property Steve Wynn owned a piece of?
Shit.
Josh, you got a guess?
It's not Golden Nugget.
No.
That's
the first one that he owned.
Yeah. Shit.
But the first one that he bought a piece of property.
It was downtown.
No, it wasn't. It was on the Strip.
Oh, well, I haven't.
It's actually semi-controversial because it was just before Howard Hughes purchased the place. And he ended up buying a stake into it, like, weeks before.
And then his shares, like, went way up in value.
Yeah. It's the Frontier.
Huh. I wouldn't have picked that one.
Yeah. And then, actually, you already answered this question as you guys were trying to work it out. What was the first property on Fremont Street that Steve Wynn bought controlling interest in? That was the Golden Nugget. What two companies did MGM Resorts acquire, making it one of the largest gaming companies in the world?
Oh, the Mandalay Bay Company / Circus Circus.
Right.
Right.
And Mirage Resorts.
Yep. Correct. Yep.
I would have guessed those two, too.
All right. What are the names of the three casinos being robbed in Ocean's 11, the remake?
The Mirage.
Right.
Bellagio.
Bellagio and the MGM Grand.
The MGM Grand, right.
If you listen to the intro of the show, right. You have heard that many times.
All right. What was the name of the casino that stood in for the Stardust in the movie Casino?
Tangiers.
The Tangiers, correct.
Oh, in the movie. I was trying to think about a casino where they filmed it, yeah. Like an actual one.
All right, I got one more for you.
Okay.
What are the five properties being robbed in the original Ocean's 11 movie?
Oh, jeez.
Okay. Riviera.
Yes.
Sahara.
Yes.
Flamingo.
Yes.
The Dunes.
No.
Oh, shit. I have one guess.
Nothing on the, they're all on that, the other side of the road.
Yep.
Desert End.
Yep. One more.
I can't help you. I have no idea.
It's iconic.
Tropicana?
No.
No, they didn't go that far south.
Rat Pack.
Oh, Sands.
Yeah. That's right. That's
why
the
I didn't even think of that one.
All right, that's all I got for trivia for you this week.
Listeners are probably screaming at me, too.
It's always easier when you're listening at home.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the pressure of being on a Zoom call and having faces right in front of us.
Right.
All right, well, that was a lot of fun. I sure like doing these. We've got some listener feedback next.
We do. We got a PayPal donation from Matt D. And Matt writes, y'all got one hell of a trip review coming. Thank you for the warning, Matt. Right. We appreciate it. Nice.
It's got to be one hell of a trip. He gave us a karma donation, and then he gave us a karmic donation after the fact.
Karmic?
Yeah, where, you know, he already had karma. He already had good luck for...
So he was kind of sharing some of the proceeds
sharing the luck
from
after the fact. Yes.
From the winnings. That was very kind of him.
Yes, very much. Very much appreciated.
Well, thank you, Matt.
Thanks,
it.
Matt.
And glad you had a good time. Like we always say, karma donations, 100%
of the time
guarantee.
Work. Yep. Always have a good time.
Well, I think that's going to do it for episode 485. Thank you all for listening and downloading. We really do appreciate it. If you'd like to check out any of the stories on today's show, you can do so on the blog at 360vegaspodcast.com. Get premium and exclusive content. You subscribe to our show at patreon.com/360vegas and get 360 Vegas shirts, mugs, and anything else we can slap a logo on at zazzle.com/360vegas. If you'd like to send some feedback like our friend Matt D, you can do so at 360vegaspodcast@gmail.com.
Josh, where can folks find you?
I'm at Vegas J-Dubs.
And Karen?
I am at 360 Vegas Karen.
He's told you where you can find me, so until next time.